The stallion's attraction to the mare verged on euphoria. The instinct was all-consuming, making him delirious, unpredictable. As a human being, I will never understand such an intense physical craving. Well, there was a period of my life when I'd allowed myself to be pulled under the surface, where I'd let go, but only for a few minutes, and that was long ago. I could no longer afford such a luxury. The only drive propelling my actions now was hunger. Hunger can make a person behave irrationally too, in a manner resembling madness. Hunger can compel us to do just about anything. There's no arguing with an animal's drives, so I had to protect Nike, my mare. Rimfaxe was relentless, although the fences around Nike and her foal, Puma, should have been enough to keep him at a safe distance. Nike was in heat, and this lured him to the paddock, no matter how much I yelled and gesticulated. She'd lost her partner, Hummel the stallion, last autumn. He'd been old and tired. I took pity on him, and now Nike was alone. I knew she would not find peace until she conceived, but she couldn't have what she wanted because she was a Taki, one of the few remaining wild horses in the world, and the Rimfaxe was just a wholly ordinary, tame horse Richard had freed before his departure from the neighboring farm 1 year ago. The foal of a wild horse and a tame horse would inherit predominantly the characteristics of the tame horse. The bloodline would die out after just 2 generations, and all our efforts to bring her here, the work invested to ensure the continued survival of her breed, would have been in vain. Get out of here, Rimfaxe! The stallion rubbed against the fence, thrust his muzzle toward Nike, trying to reach her, and the mare encouraged him, lifting her tail and turning her hindquarters in his direction. I ran closer, waving my arms. Get out of here! Shoo! Rimfaxe whinnied at me, twisting and sidestepping a bit before trotting away, his haunches expressing his indignation. Forget about it, I shouted after him. Go find a horse of your own kind. Soon I would no longer need to guard them like this. It was September. Nike was about to commence her 6-month anestrus period, 6 months of peace and quiet for both of us. During the winter, I had control over the animal's behavior and my own situation. As long as the larder was full, as long as the winter storms kept their distance, as long as the power didn't go out, life was manageable in the winter. I walked all the way over to the fence, leaned against a pole, and reached my hands out to the wild horses. Good morning, Nike. Hi, Puma. They turned their heads toward me, recognizing my voice. Puma came over first, his skinny legs nimble against the ground. He was still new to the world, a little unsteady, and his movements had a kind of hesitancy. He poked his muzzle through the fence and snuffled softly. Do I have something for you? I asked and smiled. You think I have something for the two of you? I stuck my hand in my pocket. Okay, but just for today. Nike came over as well. Her nostrils flared when she discovered the carrots I'd taken out of my pocket. There you go, little one. I gave the first carrot to Puma. A small carrot, because he was still too young to digest much of anything except the mare's milk. Nike stomped one hoof. Take it easy, there's one for you too. I gave her the biggest one. It vanished into her mouth in a flash, and she crunched on it loudly. Don't tell Isa, I said. Nike snorted, waving her tail. Isa's strict, yeah. My daughter is strict. I stood there, just watching them for a little while, though they paid me no further attention. And then I turned and hurried back to the farm. It was Friday, shopping day, and I had to go down to the quay. Sometimes fishermen or hunters would still show up down there. The hens had laid many eggs in the past week, and maybe somebody would come who'd be interested in them.